Here to preview the matchup, we've got Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times, Seattle Mariners beat reporter. He's been at T-Mobile Park the past few games. Ryan, thanks so much for joining the show. What's the atmosphere been like now that fans are back in the crowd up in Seattle?
It's been good, actually. It's been kind of nice. You know, you kind of got a little bit of it at spring training, but, you know, that was only about, I think, 15 or 1,600 people for Mariners games. And then so it was about 9,000, although it was kind of weird. Like, everybody's noticed it. There's just this one lady that just screams really loud, just shrieks it. And she was right by the field mics the other night and it got picked up pretty good on the broadcast. And you could hear it from the press box. She was there last night. She was in a different spot, but you could still hear it throughout the stadium. So I'm curious if she'll be there or not. I think she's a Giants fan. From what I can tell, every time the Giants do something well, she's going crazy. So it was there was many comments on Twitter about that one woman. So I, as one guy pointed, he's like, I'd be divorced within the weekend, is what he said.
No question. Giants fans were fired up. They'd disown her if they found out that she was a Giants fan. They've been so frustrated with the broadcasts and hearing that woo. But it's funny you mentioned that. And we started off this segment talking about Logan Webb, the pitcher going for the Seattle Mariners tonight, Chris Flexen, a Bay Area native, a Newark Memorial High product. Really interesting story. And I want to ask you, how did he land in this Mariners rotation? Pitched in the KBO last year. What brought him back to the United States? And what did he show during Cactus League play to win a job?
You know, they scouted him in the Cactus or in the KBO off of video, and they have a scout. They had a scout over there as well, but they started kind of watching because they looked at the numbers, and then, you know, they get the metrics of like spin rates and all that stuff as well. So they see this guy having success. I think one of the things that they noticed too is like Chris Flexen doesn't look like the same guy he was when he was with the Mets. I believe it was he lost about 45 pounds. And just kind of reshaped his body, got in better shape. And he did that over in Korea before he went to Korea and just kind of changed his whole outlook. And so they started looking, they looked at the metrics, looked at the spin rates, all that stuff. And they thought, you know, this is a guy that could help them. And I really liked the idea that he pitched a full season last year, essentially, compared to what everybody else, you know, in Major League Baseball was doing. So they thought they'd have a ready-made starter, maybe a back-of-the-rotation type of guy, and they even gave him a full major league contract and guaranteed him a spot in the rotation, which we thought was kind of interesting. But, you know, the spring, he looks, you know, he's got kind of a four-pitch mix. He's got a changeup. He's got a cutter, curveball, fastball. You know, it's about 93, 94. Like he said, he goes, it's amazing what you can do and how hard you can throw and how athletic you can be on the mound when you don't weigh as much as he did. So I think, yeah, that's a big aspect for him, too, is just being kind of a little bit more athletic, losing that weight and being more athletic. And he looked okay during spring training. I mean, I wouldn't say a world beater, but, you know, he looked like a guy that could help them and maybe provide some stability.
Previewing Giants Mariners coming up tonight at 6:10 from Seattle with Ryan Divish, Mariners beat reporter for the Seattle Times. The other Bay Area native that I wanted to ask you about, Mitch Haniger, back on the field for the Mariners this season after missing the entire 2020 season. He's a mid-high product out of San Jose. Tell us a little bit about Haniger's story. You know, an all-star back in 2018 at age 27, looked like he was going to be a big part of the Mariners' future, but then kind of disappeared due to injuries, and now he's back and, you know, at the top of the Seattle lineup. So I would imagine they're counting on him for big time production this year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, when he's healthy, he's their best player. Even Kyle Seager says that, and Kyle Seager has been there forever, but he points out that when Mitch Haniger's right, he's their best player. And it's true in the sense that he's got all five tools. In 2018, when he played in 160 games, he had 35 doubles and I think 29 homers. You know, he's an all-star in a year where there were a lot of good all-star outfielders. So June 6, 2019, facing the Astros, Justin Verlander throws him a 1-2 fastball inside towards his hand. Haniger swings at it and fouls it straight into his groin. And he wasn't wearing a cup, so he remained in the game, which makes him the toughest man I've ever met. And remained in the game and for three innings, tried to play through the pain and then realized something was wrong. He left. He had a ruptured testicle, had to have emergency surgery. I think he had a second surgery after that on that issue. And then in his rehab, and that's where it gets a little murky about the blame game, in his rehab, he suffered a sports hernia that went undiagnosed by the Mariners training staff. And then from there, he got that fixed. But while he had that and he was trying to work out and trying to come back, even through the abdominal injury that he was suffering, it just put so much pressure on his back, and he had a ruptured disc, or he had a herniated disc in his back. So he's had three surgeries, or four surgeries, I think, in the last 10 months. And he took all of last year off trying to come back and get healthy. I mean, it helped a little bit that they didn't really play last year. You know, it was only 60 games. The Mariners are okay with letting him, just trying to figure it out. But he's been back. He's been healthy. He's had no physical issues, and he's looked pretty good. I mean, he made a really big catch in the win the other night, saved a run in extra innings, and he's gotten a couple hits. And he has a chance to be, you know, if he plays 150 games, he's going to be their best player. He'll put up the best numbers.
Yeah, you mentioned it right there, that catch down the line, sliding grab to take away a Buster Posey hit in the 10th inning on Thursday night helped save the game for the Mariners. That's Bay Area native Mitch Haniger, and we're previewing Giants-Mariners this evening with Seattle Times beat reporter Ryan Divish. Ryan, everyone knows about the Mariners' long, long playoff drought dating back to the early 2000s. How much closer are they right now with their intriguing young talent coming through the farm system? You've seen some of the young pitchers. How much closer are they to contending, and when do they think that they will be in the mix in the AL West?
Yeah, I think they're closer than they've been in a long time. You know, although in 2018, I think that was the last year they had Nelson Cruz and Robinson Cano, and Haniger was healthy, and Kyle Seager and Felix Hernandez. They had a decent team, and they actually had like a 12-game lead over the A's in the second wild card, and the A's went crazy in the second half. But you know, they needed to rebuild. They need to start over, and it's been a couple years. I think they're probably 2 years away. The Mariners say they'll be ready next year. But, you know, with the pandemic and missing that time and not having a minor league season for some of their top prospects, I think that affects them. I think it affects the timeline. You know, and they've also kind of, you know, the news about their president admitting they were kind of manipulating some of the service time of some of their top prospects shows, too, that maybe it isn't going to be next year the way they want it to be. And I think they thought they were really going to be able to spend in the free agent market. But you're seeing more and more of these expected free agents sign extensions. So I think maybe 2 years from now is where they're going to be decent. But if you look at the American League West, now the Astros are starting to take a step back. If they don't sign Carlos Correa, that'll be a problem for them. The A's, you just kind of never know. They're always really competitive. But the Angels haven't done much to supplement Mike Trout. Every time they think they do, they just have a bunch of injuries. And then the Rangers are in kind of a rebuild mode. So, like, it's setting up in that way that the Mariners could contend in the AL West even as soon as next year, just by attrition of other teams. And, you know, they're in a pretty good spot. But I think they'll be better to good in 23 more than 2022.
A really interesting juxtaposition, especially for Giants fans who are experiencing kind of a similar trajectory for the franchise, except when you consider that the Dodgers and the Padres are not going away anytime soon, not fading quite like the Astros and the Angels and the A's might. One more for you, Ryan, before we let you go here. What to you is the most interesting Mariners storyline this season? Is it Jared Kelenic, the prospect coming up, Julio Rodriguez, a new president, perhaps now that, like you mentioned, the old one is out after his comments? What is, you know, the market monitoring up there in Seattle right now?
I think in the immediate, yeah, it's probably Jared Kelenic getting called up, when that will happen. When they, you know, I think maybe it'd be by middle of May, June 1st, you know, with the AAA not having the delayed start to the AAA season, that hurts him a little bit. So I think that's probably the most immediate storyline, because it was already a storyline going into spring training before Kevin Mather even made the comment, because Kelenic's camp had felt like they'd been manipulating his service time even before Mather admitted it. But I do think, like, that president, the search for a baseball president or a president of baseball operations is going to be something that to monitor. I mean, everybody wants them to go get Theo Epstein, but, like, you know, I don't know if the Mariners are willing to give $9 million to an executive. So they gave $9 million a season to Sean Figgins for 2 years to not have him play for them. So I guess they could do that. And Jerry DePoto and Scott Service are in the final years of their contracts, and they have not been extended. You know, there are some rumblings that they might get a one-year extension and kind of a prove-it year next year, but as of now, they have not been extended that I know of. So that's something to monitor, too, the people that have kind of you know, were responsible for convincing ownership to start this rebuild and have done a lot of the work in terms of accumulating prospects, they might not be around to see it come to fruition if it does, because, you know, they could, if they, this team falls on its face and loses 90 some games, there's a chance that either one or both of them are gone as well.
Oh, really interesting stuff. Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Divish, D-I-V-I-S-H. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem.
All right, more Talking Baseball coming up. Marty, you've got something for us?
Yeah, a good interview with Ryan. I learned a lot. I did not know that Chris Flexen lost that much weight. I have 6'3", 250, and we talked about the nickname Big Baby. Well, maybe that's... That's what it took to get him back in the big league. So very interesting insight from Ryan. Very good, Kerr. Very good. Time now to relive the home run of the week, sponsored by River Islands. Come home to River Islands in Lathrop and discover a million-dollar lifestyle for about half the price. You can visit online today at riverislands.com. Home run of the week. Well, the Giants have six of them, but this is the one I like best.
He delivers. There's a swing and there's a drive into right field. Deep. Way back there. Still going. Still going. Goodbye! A home run toward right center field for Longoria to tie this game, his second home run of the season. The Giants with their second home run of the game and their sixth of the first two games.
Boy, a big shot last night for Longoria. Two-run shot off of Kikuchi, who was dealing at that point. It looked like he was getting a little tired, but Longoria got the pitch, and he did not miss it, and that is the key to winning baseball. All right, we'll take a break. Kerry, Bill, and I'll be back for a short segment. Then it's time for the Giants pregame. We're getting close to game time here. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.